Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to James chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. James chapter number 1 in the Word of God this evening. And I love that song, Brother Josh, and I trust that we are really truly thinking about the words of that. Thank you, Lord, in the day and age we live. And if you have watched the news at all or tuned in, today's been a very dark day on our country, and a lot of rioting going on, and just a lot of foolishness around our nation, and a lot of name-calling. And we come into church at times, and we bring that baggage in with us. And we come into the Lord's house, and we meet together, and we come together as a local church, and here's where we find ourselves, thinking about today, thinking about tomorrow, thinking about what's been taking place in our country. And we'll sit here and we'll sing a song like we just sang, and we won't even think about the words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will thank you, Lord. I will trust. And all these lyrics that we just came through. And if we're not careful, we have just totally daydreamed through a song. But if we stop for a moment, especially on a Wednesday night when we're tired, we've worked all day, your kids have been in school, they just got back, there's homework going on, our poor workers in the bank that are back there with kids once again this evening, we come in here, it's nice and warm in here tonight, it's cold outside, but it's nice and warm, we're thinking about what's going on, and to be honest with you, if we're not careful, we'll go through an entire Wednesday night service and get nothing from our Abba Father. I wonder if just for a moment this evening we just kind of concentrated on what is about to take place. The Word of God is about to be open. The preacher is about to speak and teach and preach those things in which he has prayed and fasted over. We're about to speak to our Creator of the universe. And is our heart ready? See, we can come into a church service oftentimes and we'll hear about this subject this evening, the fortification of faith. And we can go through an entire year and our faith really has not been stretched. We haven't moved at all. We're kind of, well, we just came through another series and, well, it was good, James chapter 1, but are we ready? Is our heart in tune and ready to receive what God would have for us? In just a moment, we're going to pray, and I ask this evening that as I pray tonight, and even as Pastor Brent just prayed a couple of moments ago, maybe that we'd pray as individuals, Lord, speak to me this evening. How many by an amen tonight would say that we really do need something from God tonight? Would you say amen this evening? Our hearts are heavy. Maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we've had a hard day. For some of you, you've had a good day. Some birthdays taking place today. Even some steak dinners that we're eating. Man, we've had a great day. But maybe just whatever it is that we're in our lives, may we just pray, God, give me something this evening. Would you take the Word of God, James chapter number 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight. James chapter number 1. Would you look with me once again at verse number 19. And this is where we started last week. We'll give a little bit of review and then we'll finish out this series here in James chapter number 1. Beginning at verse number 19, the Bible says this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Look at verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Once again tonight, I'd like to preach on the topic of the fortification of faith. The fortification of faith. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, here we are once again. Lord, we come on a Wednesday night. And Lord, this is at times, Lord, a difficult service to come in. It's because, Father, we've heard a lot of news today. We've come through a long day. It's our first week back in school, Savior, after a really good break. And at times, it's through those first several days, we are tired. But Lord, I ask that we'd be awake in the Word of God tonight. Father, I just ask, Lord, that as we are here and as we soak up Your Word, that, Father, You'd give us something that would encourage us tonight, God. And Father, we would be convicted through the Word of God this evening. that there's not a person in here that we sit here and we point around the room, oh yeah, so-and-so needs this. Yeah, God, you need to speak to them. But no, Lord, when we take the Word of God and like a mirror, allow us, Savior, to look at our own hearts and our own souls and ask the question, where are we at tonight? Father, I am asking this evening personally, where am I at? God, speak to me through your Word tonight. Father, we need you. And we want you here in our midst. We're asking you, Savior, to meet with us right now. Not on one side or the other, but no, God, stir us up tonight. Father, be with Pastor Blake as he preaches here in just the next couple of moments. Oh, God, get a hold of our teenagers' hearts tonight. Lord, I just ask, Savior, that they be stirred up this evening. Lord, if there's going to be a revival that comes, Lord, may it start in our church this evening. May it start with us as individuals tonight. Savior, I ask, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. Father, help us to concentrate on you, Jesus. Savior, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the book of James, as we begin to look this past week, and just for a moment, I'm going to try to get through this introduction a little bit quicker and do a little bit of review, but we did have several that maybe are visiting tonight or were not able to be with us this past Wednesday, so I really want you to get this first point. But in the book of James, there are several sections that deal with faith. And oftentimes, as grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and husbands and wives and as single adults and college students meeting in the auditorium, oftentimes when we think about faith, we often think about someone else's faith. We think about a missionary that's gone before us. We think about the Word of God. In fact, oftentimes when we think about faith, we automatically revert back to someone that we've read about in the Old Testament and or the New Testament. What we call this is a biblical faith. In fact, there is a faith that is tried oftentimes in our life. Here in chapter 1 of James, the Bible says this. Look at it with me in verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What an absolutely weird verse. Who would count it joy? Who would be happy? Who would jump up and down when they fall into diverse temptations? Well, there's a semicolon that moves right into verse number 3. Knowing this, this is why. Here's the reason. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Testings and temptations often try our faith. Oftentimes, through these difficult circumstances, you and I are brought closer to our Savior. Why is that? You ever thought about that? Why is it when we're going through a hard time or a difficult time, we are brought closer to our Savior? Well, it's during those times that our faith is tried. And our Savior once again proves Himself to us. In chapter number 2 of James, faith of Abraham is talked about, and how he brought Isaac up on a mountain. And we talked about last week, even the faith that he must have had for Isaac being there and allowing his dad to tie him up and put him on this wood altar, knowing probably what is going to take place. And Isaac around 37 years of age and his dad well over 100 years old. I mean, there's no doubt he was stronger, he was faster. He's probably had more wit. There's no doubt he could have gotten away from his father, but the faith that it took there. And we think about that faith throughout the Word of God in Noah and in Joseph's life and in Moses and David and all of these men, that faith that they had to step out on a battlefield with a giant, or the faith to be used of God to bring 2 million Jews out of the bondage of Egypt. Or we think about maybe Esther and or Ruth, or maybe even a faith we just came through the Christmas season that it must have taken for Mary, and the faith of Joseph, and all of these people throughout the Word of God, this great faith that they had. We talk oftentimes about missionaries that have gone before us, and David Livingston and so many others, and the circuit riding preachers here in America, and the faith that it took to preach the gospel, and the faith that it took to plant churches here and there. And even last week I began to talk about the faith that it must have taken to move from the Eagledale property over to this property. And at times it's not faith in a congregation to leave what is satisfying and what is is, I'm looking for a word here, familiar to them. And that faith it must have taken for the deacons at the time and pastor and so many others to be able to make plans and to move here, and the money that it took, and that faith that we often talk about. Watch, we sometimes, our mind just goes to other people. It goes to our grandparents. It goes to those who have gone on before us. And or maybe, let me just pause here. I'm going to move it fast. I just want to get this here. Oftentimes we even think about faith that it took for us maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago. The faith that we had in doing whatever, you know, back in 1985 or 95 or 2005. And yeah, I remember, well, in my life, it's telling you, in a big way, I moved out by faith. And then when we think about faith, we often think of it in the past. But if we're going to fortify our faith, it can't just be a faith that is fortified in the yesteryears. It can't just be a faith that is fortified in somebody else's life. And we begin to talk about last week, for all of us in this room, including myself and my wife tonight, that there has to be a faith that maybe we're asking God, God, move my faith this year. Not just in 2020, not just in what happened last year and good night, what we're still dealing with. No, I'm talking about you and I asking God, God, this year in 2021, get a hold of my life and increase our faith. That is something that you and I ought to strive for. Increase, watch now, is a moving in a certain direction. Maintaining is moving in the wrong direction. It's stagnant. It's still. It's nothing, honestly. No, you and I ought to be moving in a forward direction. But we talked about that in the years that you and I are living, the culture that you and I are living, the society that you and I are living, that this concept of fortifying or moving our faith, having a bigger faith, is opposite of what you and I, even in Christian culture, are being indoctrinated with. In fact, I made a statement, I'm just going to say it again this week. A young Christian living today is being brought up with the inability to step out in a biblical faith. Did you catch that? Listen. You and I, what you and I are being indoctrinated with is the inability to step out in a biblical-like faith or fashion. Why? Because the culture is teaching you and I and our kids and our grandkids and those that are over in the gym playing, that everyone is being taught the opposite of what the Word of God pushes you and I, the life for you and I to live. We are being so infiltrated with this mindset, you ready for this? To play it safe. Whoa, faith, I mean, good night, yeah. Oh yeah, we talk about Jonah, Daniel in the lion's den. Boy, what a guy. He was awesome. Can't wait to meet that guy. That man one day. Boy, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, I'm telling you. What courage it must have taken. What faith it must have taken. I mean, my goodness. But, yeah, I mean, it's, we're living 2021. There's nobody doing that. Not me. No, sir, honey. I mean, look, we're not fam. We're not that couple. No. Wait a minute. We've done some things before, and we put a little extra in the offering plate every once in a while. But good grief! I mean, to stand up. What are we doing? We're being taught to play it safe. If it doesn't make sense on paper, then it can't be biblical. If we're going to give God 10%+ back, I mean, good grief, that just doesn't make sense. You know what we're making. You know, I mean, we're just barely making it through. I mean, is this really to give 10% back to God? To be honest, it just, I mean, look, I've met with people, and they just said, it just does not make sense. That's what we're being taught. If it's going to interrupt the life that you and I have planned, then, well, it can't be biblical. For my kid, I mean, look, I mean, you just don't understand little Johnny. You don't understand little Susie. I mean, God didn't have big faith in other kids' life, but not my kid's life. You know, we're going to play it safe, and I think they'll be okay doing this and staying close to mom and dad. They're just going to be okay, you know. I mean, for other kids, yeah, maybe, you know, Pastor Shepherd, you really ought to talk to your kids about it, because, I mean, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, it's kind of a given, you know. Maybe Tommy will be a pastor one day, but I mean, to be honest, we didn't grow up in a ministry family, and it's just, we're just going to kind of play. We're just going to be okay. We're being taught that if we're first to the life of someone else, well, then that is faith. It's not for Pastor and Carrie. I mean, this is more like, you know, it's just for Justin and Shannon type of thing. You know, this is really Josh and Glory. There's kind of, it's all over them. But for me, no. You understand. I mean, it can't. No, listen. The reason I'm going to go over this and over this, because God is looking for a man and He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a family that is willing to say, God, I don't care what it takes. God, I don't care what it costs. God, I don't care if I have to hazard my life for You. This world is not my home. We're only here for a little while, and only what's done for You is really going to matter in the next 1,000 years, the next 1,000,000 years, the next 1,000,000,000 years. God is looking for somebody that's not going to sit back and play it safe and, well, we're going to be okay. Well, that's for somebody else. No, my friend, He is looking not for just some missionary on the field that's going to come back and give us a report. Well, I'm sure glad. Can't whistle like that. But, oh, well, I'm sure glad that they, we'll give you an attaboy button. But, you know, for us, no, here at Cross Point, we're comfortable. We're good. Now, listen, watch what we're talking. Isn't it amazing that we talk about that kind of faith, how it kind of hits home? I mean, doesn't it? You see, I'm afraid at times we have gotten so in the Word of God, and we eat. Oh, isn't that good? Boy, I never thought about that before. Yeah, let me go back to the original languages. Yeah, let me look this up. Boy, I'm just boy, we eat, and we get so full, and can I even put it this way, fat on the Word of God, that we never allow it to be applied to our personal lives. Even in the day and age when we talk about faith, we all know on a Wednesday night what faith means. We know what it means to step out. We've read the stories. We've heard it. But I'm just telling you, friend, as a pastor, I know some of you think, wow, you're so young. I remember we were like 26. I was pastor when I was 26. I was a young pastor. Now I'm 37. I'm a young pastor. I hope when I'm 85, somebody says, boy, if you're just a young preacher, you better say that. Okay, but anyways, I am a pastor that really, and I'm a millennial, and I claim it, and I'm okay with it. And I know there's some bad millennials out there, but there's some in your generation too. Understand this. I'm not going to just want to look at the yesteryears. No, I know my desire is not to say, boy, didn't Cross Point have some good revivals? And boy, remember the good old days back at the property? Boy, you remember when we built this auditorium? Wasn't that great, you know, 30 years ago when we just, well, I just don't look. Are those great times without a doubt? But I don't want to live my life by faith in yesteryear. No, friend. I truly believe that you and I are living in some of the greatest times to get the gospel around this country. I believe some of the greatest hymns have yet to be written. I truly believe some of the greatest pastors have never even stepped into the pulpit yet. They're probably back in the gym playing, or they're up in the teen group, or they're heading back to college. Some of the greatest preachers, some of the greatest missionaries are going to step out by faith in 2021 and 2022 and 2023, and they're going to say, God, here's my life. Listen, friend, you and I can't get in the habit of saying, yes, let's fortify our faith. Praise God for yesteryears in the 70s and the 80s. Boy, the times we used to have. No, friend, were they great times? Yes. Are we excited about it? Sure, but we got to press forward. Amen. Somebody has to. Yeah, boy, I wish the teenagers were in here tonight. No, friend. Has to start with us this evening. Isn't it amazing what we put on our kids? Boy, I feel sorry for our kids. Boy, well, our kids. Well, hopefully our kids. Well, how about it start with mom and dad tonight, right here, friend? How about some grandmas and grandpas? Yeah, it's going to start with us. Has to start somewhere. It's the fortification of faith. Watch very carefully. It's you and I jumping in the Word of God. So how do we do this in order to move our faith? Number one, let me just fly through this. I'm going to hit number two, number three. Reminder to hear the Word of God. Number one, there is a reminder to hear the Word of God. Look at verse number 19. Look what it says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. Yeah, you say it three times fast. Okay. But wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Why? Because the Scripture has an effect on our faith. Paul put it this way when he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Revelation said it like this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To have faith, you and I must hear the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God has an effect on our faith. The Scripture has an effect on our faith. But also, the source has an effect on our faith. the source of what we are ready to hear has a lot to do whether our faith will be fortified or whether it will fail. That means this, friend, listen, the reason we're living in a day and age when everybody's doubting and nobody knows, boy, I don't know what's going to happen. Boy, I'm just telling you, we're all in a tizzy and everybody's all upset, but we can't even come to church and we're just concentrating on, oh, did you hear the news? Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, CNN said this. Yeah, Fox News said this. Boy, did you see this? Boy, it's a scam. Boy, it was Antifa. Boy, it was the Trumpers. Boy, it was this. And our mind in it, it's just the turmoil. Why? Because we are listening, but we're listening to the wrong source. We're spending an average, listen now, a teenager is spending an average of over 7 hours a day in what? Not the Word of God. No, not reading, not studying. No, they're spending over 7 hours a day doing what? Being on their phone. The average American spends over 2.4 hours every single day binging on whether it's Hulu or Prime or Netflix or whatever their giant is they're jumping on. And over 2 hours a day, men are watching on average in America over 8 hours of sports each and every week. And yet we sit back and we give God 5 minutes a day or 4 minutes a day or maybe an hour a week. And then we sit back and say, boy, I just don't even know what happened to our country. I just don't even know what's going on. We wonder why our faith is small, because the Scripture's not affecting our faith. The source is having a negative effect on our faith. Why? Because we're not in our Bibles like we ought to be. But also the style has an effect on our faith. There are several different types of listeners. Remember, we saw this last week. There are those who are slow to hear. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 22 warns of this. It's going to be those that are destroyed because they will not listen. Let me just put it this way. And I thank the Lord. And I absolutely mean this. I praise the Lord for Cross Point Baptist Church and a Wednesday night service. And man, what an incredible crowd here this evening. I do praise the Lord for those that are coming to hear. But there are going to be those that will fall to the wayside and truly going to waste a life. Why? They'll come in, they'll hear a sermon and do nothing about it. They'll come in, they'll pull up, might sing a song. But they won't let the service affect them at all. It boggles my mind at times how many worship wars we have going on around the country. They do it this way, they do it this way, they did this, they did this, and all this back and forth. Yeah, we come in and it doesn't matter what the preference is. There's no tuning in. Oftentimes we can't even think of the very first hymn that we sang this evening. We can't think of the words. Pastor Brent gets up and goes through how many prayer requests tonight? We daydream through it and has nothing to do with us. A bunch of names we don't know. We take that prayer bulletin and what do we do with it? Can I ask you tonight? What do we do with it? Slow to hear. There are those that are selective in hearing. As well, they're here and they're in it for a little while. And they might pick and choose like a lawyer. Then there's those that are sensitive in listening. The characteristics of a good listener are awake, alert, in tune, interested, avail themselves to opportunities. Be swift to hear. Number one, there is a reminder to hear the Word of God. But number two, would you write this down this evening? Remove the things that will hurt our faith. Number two, remove the things that will hurt our faith. Look at verse number 21 here in the Word of God. It says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." The word filthiness here in our English language suggests dirt or filth or impurity. The word superfluity suggests an exceeding measure or something above and beyond that which would be ordinary. The word naughtiness here in the Word of God refers to wickedness, depravity, and one's vicious disposition and desires. The text has the idea of filthiness that would be kind of like, and I know I'm so sorry if you have a weak stomach, I'm going to say this, but it gives you a good definition. Watch that. It would be like an individual with excessive earwax. Now, did you think about earwax for just a moment? You did, didn't you? Of course, we all do. Some of you are like itching your ears or your sky. Yeah, I see it. I saw two of you. You know, somebody mentions lice. What happens? Everybody starts itching their hair, you know. Or, man, my nose itches. Or, oh, this, I can't breathe in this mask. Everybody, all of a sudden, you know, just, we think about it. Excessive earwax. Yeah, that's gross. It's just, it's something we don't even like to do. What, there, it's gross. There's, nobody wants to think about it. You know, it's really of little help if we're ready to hear, but our ears are plugged. Excessive. That's the picture here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As long as there is sin left in our life to linger, our lives and our faith are not going to flourish as God would want us to flourish. If there is sin in the camp, friend, I'm telling you, there will be a stifling of spiritual growth in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in our teenagers' lives, in our youth group, amongst Crossway Baptist Church family. If you and I allow sin to settle there and do not get rid of it, we don't ask God for forgiveness. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it's excess. It's gross. It does not belong there. It is of no help at all." Verse in the Word of God, lay aside every weight. Get rid of it. Have you ever thought about that? Think about it. You ever lost 5 or 10 pounds before? And it feels good, doesn't it? Well, I get on the scales and, whoo, praise Lord, I've lost 5 pounds. We have this scale. Do we not care? I love it. Oh, it's so cheap when I went and got it. And, you know, there's all these digital ones. And, oh, you can put in your weight and it'll tell you this and all this kind of crazy stuff. Oh, no, my friend. I went... I think you're a little bit mad at me, but I got the ones that, you know, it just has a dial. You get on and it doesn't matter, and it's got a dial, and I love it. Because you get down there and you can twist it, you know what I mean? And you can make it like 5 pounds back. Woo, lost 20 pounds already. But we get on there, we feel good about it. You ever picked up a 10-pound weight? It's kind of heavy. Carry it around all day. Why? Makes sense, doesn't it? Somebody's about to line up, an Olympian, and here we go, and they're about to take off, and they get down there, and it's the 500-yard dash. They're getting down there. They're ready to run it. Well, their fingers are just right, and they get in there, and even the suits that they wear, you know, it's wind-resistant, it's real tight, it's real thin, so they can speed down there, and they're ready for the gun to go off, and here they are. Can you imagine somebody lining up, an Olympian, and getting up there, and they got a backpack on, and they got a suit coat, and they got a tie on? Boy, they're just ready to go. I might be laughing. What are they doing? What's all this weight? Why would you carry that around? Can I just tell you, friend, when you and I carry around sin, that's what it looks like. It's foolishness. When you and I carry around the burdens and the heartache of 10 years ago, what are we doing? The bitterness that has gotten in our life, and we're just going to hang on to it. We're never going to let it go. Boy, I was just hurt. Let me just tell you, friend, I understand. Do we get hurt? We get hurt. Maybe there are those in this room who have gone through, or you've counseled someone who's been abused before. Man, it's tough bringing somebody through that journey. Constantly looking back, an abusive marriage relationship. Or somebody that backstabbed you or hurt you. And it wasn't the lost world. It was a brother or sister in Christ. And it hurt. And the gossip that went on. And the belittling. And God put it this way, the insinuation that you heard. I just tell you, that's not just, well, get over it, friend. Let's move on for God. No, I'm just telling you, at times, it's 2021. It's hard to get over. But we have to. We've got to. Why? Because the verse is talking about here in verse 21. It's time to lay off. It's just excess. It's superfluity. It's got to go. Don't you love the verse, 1 John 1:9? Don't you love it? Think about it. If you like 1 John 1:9, say amen. Some of you are like, yes, amen. What does that say, Pastor? For if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Whew. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, Pastor, one time yeah, okay. Guess what? It's under the blood. Amen? It's gone. Well, you don't know, boy, this teenager, they really... Yeah, it's covered. No, when he stretched out his arms and cried, "It is finished." You know what that means? It is finished. It covered it all. Well, no, he didn't cry. It is finished, except for, you know, Thomas Shepherd and that little thing in 2021 that took. No. All of it. Everything. There has to be a removing the things that is going to hurt your and I's faith. If we're going to be willing to step out, then friend, we've got to have a reminder to hear the Word of God. But we also have to remove the things that will hurt our faith. And number three, this evening, but don't shut your Bibles just yet. Would you write this down? Number three, respond to what God has said. Look at the end of verse number 21 here. Look what it says. It says, "Wherefore lay apart," verse number one. No, let's just look at the first part of the verse. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, and oddness, and receive," look here, "with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Respond to what God has said. In order for the word to affect us, it must be first engrafted. That is this, implanted in us. The idea of implanted is that it becomes a permanent fixture in our lives. It's being an influence or an aid to us. The psalmist said it like this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, the Word of God, watch now, has an effect on our faith. But it's not the Word of God. I think oftentimes, now watch, I know this is a Wednesday night crowd, but let's get to the nitty-gritty for just a moment. Are you ready for this? I think oftentimes when we think about the Word of God, we think about our devotional time and that's it. We think about church service and that's good and that's it. And I've made it now. Today is the 6th. The last 6 days I've been in the Word of God. And I can honestly say I've read my Bible every day this year. Well, that's good and that's great. But understand, it's more than just a little devotional time. It has to be implanted in us. It's ingrained in us. It's an influence. It's an aid. It's a pushing. It becomes, well, part of who you and I are. The Bible says this in Psalm 1 and verse number 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate," watch the wording here, "day and night." Psalm 119, verse number 97. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation," watch the wording here, "all the day." The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That means you and I have to be constantly meditating on the Word of God. Now, if you agree with that, we ought to be meditating on the Word of God. Would you say amen? Make sure you're there with me. Amen just simply means you agree. You're right there. Meditation. Okay, so how do we meditate day and night? I mean, seriously. We did our devotions, and for all the moms in here, that's huge. I mean, we're getting up, and you're getting kids ready, and you're getting to school. For grandparents here, you know, or some of the older generation, you know, it's maybe not as fast as used to be. And so, man, I'm struggling to get through, and I've got doctor's appointments. I got this. I got to pick up the grandkids. I got to be here, and the dog's got to go to the groomers. And this, and our lives. To get devotions out. Boy, don't we feel good about that? I mean, it does. It feels good. I know, in a spiritual and fleshly way, we were in the Word of God. That's great. Okay, so meditate there in day and night. I mean, we just read 3-4 verses that talks about it's not the devotion that you and I are thinking of. It's not just I get into the Word of God, and I got the Word of God, for this Bible. I'm in the Word of God, and I get it, I am thine, O Lord. It's just, 5 minutes, good, okay, got it. And Lord, just give me a great day today. Lord, be with me, everything goes good. Okay, it's more than that. It has to be something that goes with us. Okay, so, Pastor, give us something practical. Here's something practical. You on your phone, most of us, not everybody. Somebody showed me literally the other day a flip phone. You remember those? I couldn't believe it. I told him I didn't believe it. He pulled out of his pocket. And it's a flip phone. You take it and you opened it like this. And you put the antenna up. Yeah, you remember those? And he had it. Yeah, that was like, wow. But most of us, what do we carry around? We carry around our phone almost all the time. Yeah, we can put a Bible verse on the back of our screen to where we open up, and it's not just our wife or our husband or our dog or our favorite sports team. A Bible verse. We're thinking about it. You know how many Bible apps there are that are free? YouVersion. Y'all write that down. YouVersion is a great one. You can jump in there and say, you can get on there, you can download, and you've got the Word of God, and it's free. Bible.is an app. That's a great app. Use it often to where you can listen to the Word of God. Well, I like to read. I understand that. But the Bible.is, Bible period is, it's a free app, and you can get on there and you can listen to the Word of God. It's got real peaceful music in the background, and you listen to it and it actually changes. So like when the angel comes to Mary, the angel's talking, it's got a deep voice, and then Mary, when it reads her part, will actually be in a female voice, and it's almost like a drama, but yet it's reading word for word the Word of God. What are we doing? We're making the Word of God part of our life. What is our phone? Carry him here first. What is our phone? Our phone, this is part of our life. We're up and we're exercising. Some of us are walking. But Justin, you'd be proud of me. The last couple of nights, I've been walking the church. I've been praying for people in the church. I've been praying for a Cross Point Baptist Church. And the other day, I can't remember how many laps I made, but it was 2 miles total. I walked our whole property. If I sprain my ankle up there where the little things go down, there's a little dip up there, and I'll be okay. Okay, I'll be okay. But I was walking and praying. Well, what was I doing? I just had my headphones in. Was just listening to the Word of God. Meditating with Him. We get in the car. What do we automatically do? We get on our phones and we text. Just kidding. You better not be doing that. What do? We get in. We turn on the radio. Why don't we turn off the radio? Meditate on God for a little while. Lord, I'm going to this doctor's appointment. I'm a little bit nervous. God, my 8-year-old today didn't seem just right in her attitude, his attitude. God be with them. Help me to be a good parent. Lord, I had an argument the other day with my spouse. I still haven't apologized. I'm a little bit prideful in this area. God, help me. Help me, Lord. Father, our country right now is in a mess. See, we're talking to Him. It's a daily, it's an in, it's an out. How many times often do we get up? Because we go to the Psalms and David talks about the Word of God. Early will I seek Thee. Thy soul thirsteth for Thee. We read that verse, we say, well, it's only got to be in the morning. But what about at night? What about right before we go to bed? You know, good night, honey, and just let's read one psalm, one verse. Oh, I can never do that. Now I've got to find my glasses, got to turn on the lamp. Look, I'm just giving suggestions tonight that it's got to be the Word of God that gets in and is ingrained in us. Look at verse number 22, and I'm almost done here. Watch verse number 22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, Christian, we can hear the Word. We might even have it in our heart. But until we act upon it, will our faith really ever increase? I wonder this year if we're going to ask God if we'll have big faith in the gospel. During this pandemic, I think oftentimes we've used it almost as an excuse. Well, we can't go there. Well, we can't do this. But Pastor Dan, we're just talking about how it's hard. Can't go in hospitals right now. Can't go to doctor's appointments. We do that. We'd love to pray with. We can't do it right now. Nobody wants anybody knocking on a door right now. And, you know, it's awkward with masks and I don't know about you. I used to think I never read people. I would have told you last year, oh, I never read people's lips. I never even look at their lips. Can I just tell you? I do read people's lips with mask on. I'm like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? I'll come again. You try to order food. If you've been anywhere and trying to order food, they got a mask on. Then they got like this little plexiglass thing. And I'll tell you something. I'm sorry. I'm like, what? And before it's over with, you both have your mask off. You're just talking to each other because nobody can understand each other. It's face off. Oftentimes, it's kind of our excuse. That we've gone 3, 6, 8 months without telling anybody about Christ. I wonder when the last time we prayed, Lord, help me to win somebody to Christ this week. Give me an opportunity to pull a track out, hand it to somebody with the good news of Jesus Christ. Can I just talk to you as a pastor for a moment? We had a big faith that maybe the election was going to turn around or doesn't matter. Maybe you voted for President Trump. Maybe you voted for Biden, whatever the case might be. I want this. I want this. We're praying. Oh, put them apart. Oh, let this come out. Oh, let the recount. Oh, this. We pray. Big faith. Boy, I'm just telling you. America's going to be okay as long as. Well, that's been our thought, hasn't it? No matter where you, what side you're on the spectrum today. Boy, America will never be the same. Or, you know, this is exactly what we need. Doesn't matter where you're at. We've done a lot of praying, have we not? Friend, can we just get back to the Bible for a little bit? It's not going to be the Republicans that's going to save America, and it's not going to be the Democrats that save America. It's going to be the very gospel of Jesus Christ in their heart that's going to save our country. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know what that is? Faith. Faith. It's going to take big faith to live this next year. It's going to take big faith in some marriages, maybe even in this auditorium. Big faith that a child will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the men and women of this church. We have big decisions coming up. Well, I don't want to wait for the next 10 years to where we finally are away with the coronavirus. And, 10 years, I have no idea. But I just don't want to wait to do our parking lot for the next 20 years until everything's good, great, and everybody's 401ks, all right? Okay, now we'll step out by faith. No, that's not faith. We need a parking lot. We're not going to fit in this auditorium forever. We're going to wait until so-and-so gets in the office? No. Because our faith is not in men, and it's not in women, and it's not in government, and it's not in a vaccine, and it's not in 2022, and it's not in 2021, and it's not... What is our faith going to be? It's fortifying our faith in, well, yes, boy, the United States of America. Do I love my country? Without a doubt. But I'm just here to tell you, my faith is not in my country. My faith is in my God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And friend, when you and I say, God, give us big faith this year, let's watch what He'll do. What if? Now, I'm done. It's 8:03. Don't panic on me. Somebody said our kids don't get out to 8:15. They might have been lying. I'm not sure there, but give me 1 minute. I'll be done. Was it 8:15? Somebody told me that, Kier. I'm pretty sure. What time do our kids get out? Can somebody tell me that? 8:15. I have 7-8 minutes left. I'm just kidding. For those of you watching live stream, I do apologize right now. But what if we as a people, God's people, started praying that God would give us big faith? You ever read a story that just blew your mind, how a person could just live their life like that? It's not that God just only picks out the big and the great and those who've got a family line that's got this and this and this and this, and if the stars align, boy, then God's using. You know, God oftentimes uses people like me and like you who just want to do something great for Him. We have to be willing. We have to respond. I said it's Sunday, and I'm just going to keep for just a little while. You just excuse me as a new pastor. I'm just going to keep driving in the end. I really do, with all my heart. And this is an opinion. I'm not going to battle anybody over it. I just really feel strongly about us as God's people being on our knees. I've read and read and read of the yesteryears of those like Pastor Defoe and so many others that did just big things for God. And you know what? Always started with men and women and teenagers and boys and girls on their knees asking God. That's where it started. I'm going to ask us this evening. And friend, invitation is never an embarrassing time. It's not me sitting here saying, well, is Josh going to go? Or is Pastor going to go? Okay. And we get this awkward look at each other. Oftentimes, we're just closing our eyes. What do we do? Even the live stream. Brother Darren, this is correct. The live stream even goes, I've watched your services many, many, many times when I was snooping on you to pray about coming here. The invitation, the camera comes over here and shows our ladies and men playing the pianos. It's not even on. It's not even for somebody to say, well, thank God they went up there. They really needed it. That's not what it's having now. You know what it's a time? For you and I
to get on our knees and say, God, this country needs you. We need you. It's a tough day. God, give me the faith to win as many people as I can before you come again. Give me the faith to realize you can use my teenager. Give me the faith that my marriage is going to be okay. Give me the faith that no matter what that doctor told me this week or last week, that God, you're going to be with me and you're going to guide and direct me and whatever it is. Are we willing to step out? And maybe where we sit, maybe step out tonight and come up front. Just tonight, once again, get on our knees and God, help us. Help our church. Help our land. Help our teenagers. Help us to fortify, to step out, to move our faith. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around this evening. With every head bowed and every eye closed.